Good morning. Since this year, 5775, is the year of Shemitah, for this year, we're going to be stopping learning Hilchas of Tefillas HaShachar and Birkos HaShachar of praying. We are going to be dedicating the year to learning Hilchos Shvis and Hilchos Shemitah, which is an important thing to know for all of us, and especially it is a wonderful opportunity to do it once every 7 years, to replenish our knowledge in whatever is going to be Shemitah. There is a wonderful, wonderful book called Dinei Shvis, the book of Dinei Shvis, taken out by Degel Yerushalayim. Now, I remember this as a child. Degel Yerushalayim has existed since I was 5 or 6 years old in the Talmud Torah, because I was tested on the older version of Hilchos Shvis in Degel Yerushalayim. I remember the test was here in Yerushalayim in Zupnik. And it was all over the country, from all the Talmudei Torah we came out. At that time, the book was much thinner, and there wasn't an English version. The English version only came out 7 years ago. This is the second edition. We're going to be using this book as our basis of learning Hilchos Shemitah. There are a few advantages to the book. One advantage is every time there is a different psikah between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, it's brought in. The second reason is their English is a very simple and understandable English. And the third reason is this book is very accessible. Now, the way we're going to be learning, we are going to be reading a paragraph from inside their book. Their English is much better than my English, so it's better reading what they've got to say and then letting me try to translate it and to interpret it. Anyone wants to buy the book to aid him, this is the book we are going to be using this year. It's called Dinei Shvis. You can see a green book. It was purchased today in Manny's or a Chaim Center. You know all the store. Very easy to get it. Anyone wants to use the book, it's a good book to have at home. When we're learning here in the shir, you can read in and then we'll explain and answer shailas. Okay, so for next week, anyone wants to get the book. For the time being, we are going to start with the introduction. Shvi'is is a very special mitzvah because the commandment of Shvi'is is supposed to allow us to have a time off, a break. Today, we are not that well versed in this commandment. The simple reason that a whole culture of modern society has changed. If we're looking 500, 600, 700 years ago, most people lived in an agricultural environment. Most people were living in villages, dealing with their fields. Even people who lived in private houses had gardens, and in the gardens they used to grow vegetables for their family consumption. Fruit trees. It is still something that exists here in Eretz Yisrael, especially in the Moshavim, in the older settlements where when the Yidden came, they were given large plots of land. In Yerushalayim, someone said to me that he is a very lucky person. He lives in Mashoim. He has a garden which is 1 meter by 1.5 meters, and in the middle of the garden, he has a tree. And it's the only tree on the street. And he's very lucky, and sometimes he does his bodhidus there. He stands and he tries to squeeze himself as not to disturb anyone else to go through. And he looks at the tree. Now, unfortunately, in Yerushalayim, trees are not that common. Depends on what area you live in. And telling a child, yes, in our time we used to grow tomatoes and cucumbers in our garden. And the child looks at you and he says, what? You don't go to the Osher Ad and buy them in the supermarket? But things have changed. Once upon a time, people were more connected to the land. Now, even today, we have a lot of people, since the whole mode of health food has, Baruch Hashem, come back into society, many people do today prefer growing things as much as they can. For example, I have gotten in yeshiva, I think this year, at least 30 or 40 questions about people who grow different spices in their porch. Like, for example, lime, nana, petrozilia, all these other things. Does it have kedusha shvis? Doesn't it have kedusha shvis? What are you allowed to do with it? Now, even though we are not an agricultural society today, nevertheless, we are aspiring, all of us, that is our dream, we'd like to have a house which is about 500 square meters with a garden about 2,000 square meters around it where we can do is bodedus. And remember, this is in the middle of Yerushalayim. Okay, we have to specify it. Now, Baruch Hashem, across the road, there are many, many houses that are just waiting to be picked. It's just a matter of time, and the Rosh Hashiva always says, pick the house now, because when the time comes, it's going to be too late. Someone is going to say, now I already have the house, okay? I put a little sign on it, and it says on this, is a chazak man when Mashiach comes, so no one look at my house, choose your own house. But we all do aspire to have our own little corner, Not only that, we go shopping in different stores. We need to know the halachos. Many times we will get presents of fruit, of vegetables from friends, from acquaintances. We need to know where they came from. What are the rules applying to them? But the main essence of Shavuos, and the Midrash says it, Shavuos is a time off. Shavuos was a present given to all the farmers and to all the people working in the agricultural world of having 1 year of a spiritual break. Being able to close everything off, go into the Beis Midrash, sit and learn and replenish their spiritual powers. Now today this thing exists mostly in the educational system. It's called the Shabbaton, a Sabbath. Once every 7 years, teachers get a year off, where they're given the year to either learn, to increase their knowledge, to have a break, to do things that they want, which means that even in the, and by the way, the invention of the Sabbath is a French invention. Most of our educational system today, especially with vacations, was based on Napoleon creating the educational system in France after the French Revolution. For example, the two-month break period, which is called the Chofesh Agadol, the big vacation, or parents call it the Onesh Agadol, the big punishment, given in the summer. The months that were chosen, which is normally August, September, or July, August, and part of September, those months were chosen because in France, that was the time of the harvest. And when Napoleon dictated that every child has got to be educated, and it's an obligation of parents to send them, parents sent letters and saying, we need our children to help us harvest everything that we've got in the fields. We can't do it on their own. So the big vacation was created to allow the kids 2 months to go and help their parents in the fields. Till today, we're suffering. Okay. Yes. Baruch Hashem, in our systems, is only 3 weeks, and it's also a big punishment, but it's a much smaller punishment than 2 months. But nevertheless, many things, and Napoleon was the one who decided that every seventh year, a teacher is going to get a year Sabbath. Why? And he took that idea from the Torah, because he realized that teaching is a very difficult job. A person needs a break. Dealing with a class of little screaming children is not easy. Anyone of us who has a little screaming children in his house can testify that dealing with them in your house when they're yours is not that easy. So when they're someone else's, I mean, that's completely unfathomable. But anyway, the purpose of the Shemitah, in the way the Torah looked at it, was to give a person a chance for a spiritual break. Until today, we have special organizations. One of them is the Keren HaShavuos, the Shavuos Foundation, which what they do is they help farmers who decide that they want to completely leave their fields. We're going to speak about it, Hefka. They don't work in their fields for the whole seventh year. They give them a monthly stipend, and they go and they sit in special Batei Midrash, and they learn all day long. And many farmers say that they wait every 7 years for this opportunity to replenish the neshama. So that is the purpose of Shemitah. So at least if we, Baruch Hashem, we have got the merit of sitting here in yeshiva every single day and learning the Holy Torah and being immersed in davening and in working Hashem, but we still have to understand that Shemitah is a special time that we are allotting it and giving it and dedicating it to Hashem. We're going to start reading the introduction of Shemitah as is brought in the book, because the introduction goes over the different, this is just an introduction of the different commandments relating to Shemitah. There are some positive commandments, which are called mitzvot aseh, things that we need to do, and are some negative commandments. And these things apply not only to farmers, they apply to us. For example, a person has a flower pot, which is in the garden, which is in his porch. What is he allowed to do? Is he allowed to water the flower pot? Is he allowed to fertilize the flower pot? Is he allowed to pick off the vegetables or the fruit or whatever grows in the flower pot? These things apply to most people today. So we need to know what the commandments are. I'm going to start reading. And again, we're going to read and explain. The Torah has commanded us in a number of places to observe the mitzvah of Shemitah in the seventh year. Some of the mitzvahs are positive commandments, mitzvot aseh, some are negative. Now, where do we find the Torah has related and spoken about Shemitah? The first place is in Parshas Mishpatim. We're going to read the verse. You may sow your land for 6 years and gather its crops, but during the seventh year, you must leave it alone and withdraw from it. So the needy of your people will be able to eat from your fields just as you do. Already we see the Torah is telling us one of the reasons of Shemitah is to allow poor people to be able to pick off fruits and vegetables freely, just like you do, who you are the owner of the field. Which means Shemitah is not just meant for replenishing our spiritual powers, it is a social mitzvah. See, the Torah is the real socialist manifest, okay? Not Marx. Anyone who has a mistake in that. And every 7 years, the Torah tells us, you need to pay attention to the people, the needy people in your society. Allow them to eat as freely as you do. Now, we can't tell you do this every single year because the Torah is a very logical Torah. And just like the communist system has collapsed completely because, unfortunately, money is what motivates the world. And without having a capitalistic system, the world will not simply be able to exist. Russia has proven that. China has proven that. And the collapse of communism around the world has also proven that. The Torah realizes that capitalism is a basic foundation of human society. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean that you've got to be completely capitalistic, as in certain continents and countries where the money is the god. But the Torah expects us to have a system which is capitalistic with socialist elements in it. So one of them is the commandments of Shemitah, as the Torah says. So the needy of your people will be able to eat from your fields just as you do. And whatever is left over will be eaten by the wild animals. Again, the Torah is also telling us, allow the animals living in your land also to eat freely. One of the important commandments we have in the Torah is Tzar Ba'alei Chaim. We're not allowed to upset or to kill animals for no reason whatsoever. Why? Hashem created a wonderful world, a natural world built of wildlife, animal, human beings, vegetation, and things that have got no livelihood, such as rocks and sand. The world is based on what is called equilibrium. Equilibrium means that there's supposed to be a homeostasis. The world has got to be constantly at an equilibrium, which means it's an equal state, just like the two scales, which are supposed to be equal. The minute something shifts and something changes, it affects the whole ecosystem. We've seen this in many places where a certain species has been eradicated, or a certain animal or plant has been implemented into some society which is not supposed to be there, and radical changes have happened. For example, there are just an example here, an example in Eretz Yisrael. One of the most common things in Eretz Yisrael, one of the most common animals, what is it?
Cat.
Yeah, oh yes. Everyone says that. I've got mishpacha from London who said they've never seen so many cats like in Eretz Yisrael. Cats are not a natural animal life to Eretz Yisrael. Cats didn't grow in Eretz Yisrael. There's no place in the description in the Torah where the Torah speaks about hachatulim asher halchu ba'aretz, the cats that walk the land. The Torah doesn't speak about cats. Cats were animals, and do you know who brought the cats?
British.
Very good. You see, in British society, this is something which is very typical of the Brits. You see, until 1867, I think 1857, I think 1857, it was forbidden. Okay, it was forbidden to molest an animal. You were allowed to hold a slave, a human slave, and beat him to death. That's British logic. The cat is more important than the human being. So the Brits, when they controlled here Eretz Yisrael, they brought in cats. And cats have multiplied and multiplied. They've changed the ecosystem. Another example. What is the most common bird that you see here in Eretz Yisrael?
Crows.
The crows are not native to Eretz Yisrael. Especially the kind of crow that we see is called the grey crow. It's not the black crow. The grey crow is an extremely intelligent animal. Some say that it is the cleverest bird in existence. Very, very aggressive. Very territorial. It is taking over the territory of other birds. And we see them at every single corner. Which means our ecosystem has changed. And there are some places where the change of the ecosystem can be very, very fatal and very crucial. For example, in many places, a certain seaweed that was brought in over from the Filipinos has managed to take over different shores. It has completely changed there, the wildlife, eradicated certain species of fish, and which means that a lot of people who are fishermen who actually live off the sea have lost their financial stability. Which means every single change changes the equilibrium, the homeostasis of the world, the ecosystem. So Hashem is telling us we need wild animals. We need wildlife. So the purpose of Shemitah is not just from a socialist point of view, which is helping those who are needy. It is also preserving our ecosystem. Allow the wild animal life to have a source of food once every 7 years. You can't do that every day. I remember we were in South Africa. My parents took us once to a place called Kruger National Park. It is a safari which is bigger than Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we were staying there in one of the bungalows, and suddenly we hear this bashing, 5 o'clock in the morning. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, we peek out of the window. There's a bear Now, I don't ask me to explain the South African logic. I don't understand. But the fridges in those bungalows were outside of the house. There was a bear trying to open the fridge. Okay, so we're calling now. We're calling the management. Say, listen, there's a bear outside. Yes, we know it's a common problem. Let him eat what he wants. Otherwise, he's going to get aggressive. Okay. So my father asked the manager, why isn't the fridge inside the house? And listen to the answer. When we put the fridge inside the house, the bears broke into the house and people were hurt. So leave the fridge out of the house. Okay, no, I still don't get the logic, but anyway. And you can see there the bear is eating our food, which was very problematic, especially if you got to get kosher food. If we allowed the animal life to go into our fields 7 years, we'd have nothing left. They'd eat everything. And again, the ecosystem would change because we would be the ones suffering. Once every 7 years, allow the animal life to eat freely from your field. And the Torah continues and says, and whatever is left over will be eaten by wild animals. So treat your vineyards and olive groves as well. Now the Torah specifies these two things, and it's important to know those were the most common agricultural growths in Eretz Yisrael at those times. Wine and olives. Eretz Yisrael was always known for its special olives and for the wine, especially since wine and olives were crucial and essential for Beis HaMikdash. With every single korban, we used to bring olive oil. And the wine was an important also for the Nesachim, which we used to bring wine also. Now, why is it important? The Torah specifies these two things. According to some of the Rishonim, the commandments of the Torah only apply to vineyards and to olive trees. And all the other things are additions that our sages added on at later periods. But from the Torah, you're not allowed to deal with olive trees and vineyards. What does that mean? If we, for example, have here an orchard of oranges, an orchard of oranges is only forbidden from Drabona. So therefore, there are many things that we are going to be allowed to do. Continues the Torah in Parshas Behar, and it says, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you come to the land that I am giving you, the land must be given a rest period, a Sabbath to Hashem. Now also, we're getting here into the agricultural wisdom, the immense wisdom of our Creator. If you ask someone who's a farmer who deals in agriculture, he will tell you that you're never allowed to grow on a plot of land the same thing again and again and again. It weakens the land. You have to shift. You're allowed to grow, let's say, for 2-3 years wheat. Then you've got to grow something else. Maybe change it into barley. Maybe change it into trees, into wine. You always have got to shift because the land is weakened. More so, every certain amount of time, you have to let the land and leave it alone, giving it a rest period. Because the land needs to replenish itself. Those who don't do it will simply burn out their plots of fields. So Torah is telling us, listen, you need to give the land a resting period. Because otherwise, the land is not going to give you the produce that it's used to giving you. And continues the Torah and says, 6 years, you may sow your fields, prune your vineyards and harvest your crops. But the seventh year is a Sabbath of Sabbaths for the land. You may not sow your fields, nor prune your vineyards. Do not harvest crops that grow on their own, nor pick the grapes or vines kept from others. It is a year of rest for the land. Again, the Torah is specifying the land must rest. What grows while the land is resting may be eaten by you. Whatever grows, you're allowed to eat. Not only is there no issa of eating what the land grows, the Ramban says that when you eat something that has got Kedushas Shvis, something that has got the holiness of the seventh year, you are actually doing a positive commandment. Which means, therefore, every person needs, according to the Ramban, at least once in the Shemitah year, buy fruits or vegetables that have got Kedushas Shvis, that have got the holiness of Shvis, eating them, because that way he is doing a positive commandment. And continues the Torah and says, it is the year of rest for the land. What grows while the land is resting may be eaten by you, by your male and female slaves, and by the employees and residents' hands who live with you. Everyone is allowed to eat it. Why is the Torah specifying us? There are certain things that have got foods that are holy that are not allowed to eat it by everyone. For example, truma. Truma is something that we are supposed to give a certain portion of what we grow in our lands. We give it as a gift to the sect of Kohanim, to the priests. Why? The priests are not allowed to own land. The priests are supposed to serve Hashem fully. So we are supposed to be the ones helping them. Truma is not allowed to be eaten by anyone who is not a Kohen. Even if I, for example, am a Kohen, and I've adopted someone living in my house, he's my adopted son, he's not allowed to eat the Truma. So much so, that the Torah, that the Gemara describes to us, we know that in the Chagim, in Sukkot, Shavuos, and Pesach, all of Am Yisrael, at least those who could, did Aliyah LaRegel. They came to Yerushalayim, they stayed here, they went to all the different ceremonies in the Beis HaMikdash, they sacrificed everything. Where did they stay? They stayed with people living in Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, a person who lives in Yerushalayim, it is a great schus, but just that you should know, your house, when Mashiach is going to come and Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, your house is going to be a free hotel. You have to allow people sleep in your house. You're not allowed to take from them a single penny. The bigger house you have, the more people you're going to have to cope with. Those people, many of the people living in Yerushalayim here, were Kohanim. The Kohanim were obligated to take all the Truma that they had and lock it in special cabinets, saying on them Truma, so that the Israelites that were staying with them during the Chagim wouldn't accidentally eat them. So there are things, are certain foods that have got a holiness that other people are not allowed to eat. Says the Torah, when it comes to Shavis, everyone is allowed to eat what grows in the land. Again, the Torah says, it's another verse, in the seventh year you might ask what we will eat. Says the Torah, let's be honest, I'm now telling you, rest for a whole year. So what should be the logical question that anyone should ask? What am I going to eat? I mean, during the regular year, I deal with my land, I grow the produce, I harvest it, and I eat it. If you're now telling me that for a whole year I'm not allowed to do any of those things, what am I going to eat? And the Torah doesn't ignore it. The Torah says on the contrary. In the seventh year, you might ask, what will we eat? We have not planted, nor have we harvested the crops. And again, the Torah tells us, you may work during the 6 weekdays, but not on Sabbath. You must stop working, ceasing from all plowing and reaping. And the Torah says, this is a verse relating to Shemitah. We have here a problem. The Torah tells us, give your lands a resting period for a whole year. What are we supposed to eat for that year? We're going to be learning, as we go in the Shiurim, that the Torah has given a special blessing. Let's just read the blessing that the Torah has given. Okay? Because the Torah gives an extremely special blessing in the seventh year. And the blessing that the Torah gives us is that the produce will be a produce not multiplied, but tripled. Because the Torah tells us, one of the reasons is, we are not allowed, there are things we're not allowed to do also on the sixth year and on the eighth year. Says the Torah, I am going to give you a special blessing. What you grow on the sixth or the eighth year is going to be triple of a regular year. I will compensate you for what you've lost on the Shemitah year. Now, there are different interpretations to what does it mean by tripling the produce. Some say in quantity, some say in quality. Some say in quantity, if your field in a normal year supplies you, let's say, 1,000 kilos of oranges, on the 8th year, or on the 6th year, you will get, instead of 1,000 kilos, 3,000 kilos. Triple the produce. Other of our sages say, it's got nothing to do with quantity, it's got to do with quality. What do we mean? I'm going to give you an example with money. One of the things that I heard from one of my great mentors, the great Gaon of Mordechai Eliezer, Tzadik Livracha, is that many people, when they ask Hashem for money, they make a mistake with how they ask Hashem for money. They ask Hashem for a lot of money. That's not the correct blessing. You need to ask Hashem for a bracha in the money. What does that mean? Many of us have had this. We've made, let's say now, 1,000 shekels. It came into our wallet. At the end of the day, we're left with nothing. It just disappeared with the speed of light. The washing machine broke. Okay, here goes 600 shekels to the technician. I have a debt in the makolet, another 300 shekel, take out 300 shekel. My daughter needs to buy something for school, another 50 shekel. We need to get... Didn't I make 1,000 shekel today? Where's the money? On the other hand, sometimes we'll get 100 shekel, and that 100 shekel seems just to last and last and go on forever. It's like the miracle money tree that grows in our field. You know, you just pluck the money. Sometimes we'll see that we have such an immense blessing with our money. Nothing is broken down. That 100 shekel has bought me so many things I wouldn't have thought that 100 shekel would go so far. Some of our sages say it is the same thing with the blessing of Shemitah. The food, it's not that the quantity will increase, but the quality of the food will be three times as that of the quality of the food in regular year. Now, where do we see this? NASA. NASA has got a big problem with its astronauts. Astronauts are very limited with the amount of weight that they're allowed to take on the space shuttles. Space shuttles are very, very minute, very small, very thin. You can't take on them. You can't do a mangal, okay? There's no doing a barbecue on the space shuttle. Now, what do they eat? NASA, for years, developed a very high protein, high calorie, and high vitamin food. It's not that tasty, but it is very effective. It is very small quantities, very concentrated, with everything that a person needs, not only to sustain his life, but also to feel healthy. Now, NASA's products were also eventually duplicated and given to the American Army, and from the American Army to all the different armies related to America, working together with America. Why? When I'm now sending a group of soldiers on a special mission, they've got to carry them lots of equipment. They don't have a place to carry them all the food. It is much better giving them a protein bar, which is a small concentrated bar equivalent to that of a meal or even two meals, and giving them a packet of protein bars, than letting them carry three, four meals. So we can see that even in our world today, we realize that there are foods who have got a very, very high quality. Another example that we know that is all these different energy drinks. You know the energy drinks? Yes, the driver's best friend. Okay? An energy drink, I'm not talking about the health, I'm not talking about the health aspects of the energy drink. Energy drink is a concentrated little can of caffeine, taurine, and other poisons ruining your body, but allowing your eyes to stay awake for the next half an hour so you don't fall asleep on the road. So we see in our everyday world, we see that we have what is called things that are concentrated, things that are highly efficient. So the Torah is promising us the produce that you will make on the sixth year or on the eighth year will be highly efficient, very concentrated, very high in quality. Today, it's now 1:01. We have started learning the introduction to Shavuos. We're going to be continuing this, and eventually, during the year, we're going to be going over all the basic halachas that relate to us. One example before we finish. Many people have asked me, what do we do about buying vegetables? Vegetables have already become a problem. Why? This is just a teaser for next week. Vegetables, the determining whether they belong to Shavuos or not is determined by when they are picked. Now, most vegetables that we have today were picked after Rosh Hashanah. There are some exceptions, which are the long-lasting vegetables, like potatoes, onions, certain carrots, for example, though carrots are more sensitive than potatoes. Some carrots are. A lot of them were frozen last year, and they're taken out to be defrosted. You get an ex-frozen carrot. Most vegetables that we buy today were picked after Rosh Hashanah, which means that if they were not dealt with properly, they have got Kedusha Shavuos. So that is a halacha that applies to all of us. Hence why we need to learn what the Torah expects us. So that was a teaser for next week. And until next week, may you have a wonderful week. And may Be'ezras Hashem in this week, may all of Am Yisrael make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and then Shavuos will not be to Rabbonon, it will already be to Oraisa, and we'll have a completely different Shia next week, which will be given by Mashiach Tzidkenu.
Thank you very much.